chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Juanita Ingram on the show today. Juanita is the CEO of Purpose Production, Inc. She is also an attorney, an author, a speaker, an award-winning creative producer, and philanthropist. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Juanita, oh my goodness, I can't believe we made this happen. You are such a rock star girl. I am in St. Louis, Missouri. And listeners, Juanita is in Singapore right now. It's 11 p.m. And so I don't know of anybody else that I've had that actually stayed up till 11 p.m. to do the podcast, Juanita. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that we made it happen across time zones. So thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, and I have to give a shout out. I always love mapping it back to how we met. So we met through our mutual friend, Lauren Herring, and she had met you and she reached out and said, Lisa, you've got to meet Juanita. So we did virtually, obviously. And then, you know, there have been a couple things that we've done now.
Yes.
You know, you've done a few things with the Rooted Sisters, which has been so much fun.
Yes.
But I told you before we started, I don't think we can contain you in one podcast. There is so much to you. It's just amazing. Now, you're originally from Chattanooga, right?
Yes. Tennessee and through and through. So I went to Tennessee State University in Nashville for my undergrad and University of Memphis for my law degree and MBA. So I'm a Tennessean at heart.
Yeah. Those Southern roots, girl, you know, because I grew up in Kentucky.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, there's something really special, you know, about those Southern roots. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you went on to Tennessee State University and got your accounting degree. And see, I did not know this until I started preparing for today, but I have an accounting degree too. That was my undergrad. So, hey.
Yes. There you go. Another thing we have in common. Yes.
Another thing we have in common. But after practicing for 5 years, I quickly pivoted to do something else. But I tell you what, I tell students all the time, accounting is a great background, especially if you have your own business. You got to understand the numbers.
Absolutely.
But you went on and got your MBA and your Juris Doctorate. So you grew up and you said you were smart. You knew you were smart, but you know, it was not always easy. And I remember reading, you know, you said you grew up, you had Coke bottle glass, as you said, and the kids were not always kind. And so, you know, you had a lot of obstacles to overcome there, I guess, if you will.
Yes. It's normal, I think, to a certain extent in your younger years and teenage years to go through phases where you question self-worth and self-efficacy and self-esteem. And then kids can be cruel. You know, like my eyes were really big. They still are. And my glasses were really thick and they still are. Like, I need LASIK. And I think this might be my year to go for it because I'm really blind. And my glasses were really thick and I got teased a lot. I mean, they went from being called focus when I had my glasses and then I got contacts and then people realized that my glasses were making my eyes look a lot smaller when I was wearing them and I took them off and everybody was like, whoa, your eyes are really big. And to this day, I think there are people that I went to college with that thought that my mother named me Peepers, but it was a nickname. And I'm like, my mother would not do that. That is not my legal name. My name is not Peepers, but there are people I went to college with. I'm not certain that they ever knew my real name. So yeah, I had to learn to love the way God made me. And the thing that I was teased for was actually my favorite part of me now.
Isn't that beautiful? And I mean, you know, and we'll talk about this, but you've gone on to win beauty pageants and you're doing television shows. And you said the big eyes really come into play there, right? So we can all identify with being teased about things, but don't let that define you. Don't let that stop you. And it may end up being your greatest asset. But you went on and got your Juris Doctorate. And I want to read something here.
Yes.
You know, you were a Tennessee and Indiana licensed attorney. You've been recognized by the Tennessee Supreme Court in 2018 and 2019 as the Attorney for Justice Award, awarded the Power of Women in Law Award in 2016, received the Up and Coming Leadership Law Award, was named Top 40 Under 40. It is amazing all the things that you've done. And I was thinking about you this morning. And I was thinking, goodness gracious, she's an attorney. She's an author. You have now written 5 or 6 books. Now you have a television show.
Yes.
You have done so many things. But what I want to go back to is your husband is an executive for Johnson & Johnson. Okay. And I know I read somewhere where you said you'd never really been out of Tennessee until you guys got married. I guess you went out of the country on your honeymoon, possibly. Is that right, Winnie?
Yes. On our honeymoon was the first time that I ever left the United States. Yes.
But it kind of sparked something in you and kind of a love for the travel and to see other places. And I had not really thought about this in the way that you described it, Juanita. But, you know, you moved to London, I guess, for your husband's work. He, as I said, he's an executive at J&J. And you talked about the trailing spouse instead of the leading spouse. And I never really thought about it that way. But you had this huge career. Can you tell us just a little bit about that journey, Juanita?
Absolutely. You know, I think it has a duality, right? Because I signed up and I said, yes, I knew that God was blessing my husband. I wanted to be supportive. It was his job promotion that brought us to London and started our expat journey like 10 years ago. Prior to that, I had always known that we were going to do that when we got married. I had no evidence, no reason to believe that, but God placed it on my heart. That was the reason why we went out of the country on our honeymoon. And I think we were prepared to live abroad because we had traveled abroad. And I just told my husband, I think we need to do that, that God is preparing us for something. But you don't prepare for the shift. And I was not prepared the first time around. And trailing spouse syndrome, I didn't even know what that was, didn't have a name for it. I learned that that's what I was experiencing when I started preparing for the show for the second move. And I read about it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's what that was. I think it's very hard for you to think about what does success look like in terms of the shifts and the transitions of life. What I was so caught up in was supporting and, okay, we've got to make this transition. And I was thinking about the move. And then when he pulled out of the driveway, when we landed and we were there in London, I could still hear the car tires over the gravel in my head. I stood there and had no plan on what I was being called to do in this new place. And so it was very dark. I went through like 4 months where I cried every day. I went through trailing spouse depression, which I didn't even know that's what that was. And what it really is a time of transition and change where you have not prepared for the opportunity ahead. You're still looking backwards. I was still thinking about what I wasn't, which was this traditional lawyer that I had worked so hard to be. So oftentimes our worth and our identity is wrapped up in what we do. And I had to sit back and think about, but Juanita, who are you? This is what you do. And this is what you can do. I'm still licensed in 2 states. I still love it. But what else is there? And I had not done the work to think through what was I going to do the day he backed out of the driveway. I had not thought about what the new opportunities that this new season was presenting. I was so focused on what I had given up. I still say to this day, like, I wasted all that time, because if I had only known that this was a real opportunity, that change is a catalyst for opportunity. But you do have to give yourself permission. And what I did not do, and what I tell trailing spouses all the time now, especially those women who are leaving a particular type of work and making the transition, allow yourself and give yourself permission. Don't stay there, but it's okay for you to mourn. Even if you agree to the move, even if you know it's what's best, it is okay to mourn what you thought was going to be. By the time I was practicing law for like 10 years, I told myself, I want to be a judge. And I knew in that moment that I was taking a step away from that trajectory. And I was not giving myself opportunity to mourn that, to say, you know what, Juanita, you really did want to do that. You're not going to do that. That kind of hurts. Mourn it. Leave it there and move on. I wasn't giving myself permission to do that. Now, I may be a judge someday. I may just have a judge show.
Right.
You never know. But at the time, I could only focus on what I was giving up. And I needed to make that shift and really appreciate where God was placing me now, which was more than I could have imagined. I hadn't written any books at that time. I hadn't done any of that.
Right. You know, I want to ask you here, because I read that during this time, you sat in the same chair for 4 months.
I did.
You said your husband would pull out of the driveway. You would sit in this chair until it was time for your kids, I guess, you to go to pick up your kids from school. You sat in the same chair.
I could see it clear as day now. I don't even know what I watched on television. I'm not even sure that I watched television. I sat there and I thought about all that I was giving up. I thought about how hard I worked to become a lawyer, the bar exams that I passed, you know, everything that I wasn't doing, everything that wasn't happening. And what did this mean? I was sad. I was lost. I didn't have a sense of purpose or identity. And my whole worth and identity was wrapped up in this traditional way of doing law. And I sat there and ate. I gained like 15 pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm short. So it's a lot. I don't have height as an advantage. And so, you know, I sat there and cried for 4 months, had to tell myself to get up.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said. You said you finally decided that you need to start living out your purpose.
Yes.
And you hired a life coach. I wanted to say to our listeners, sometimes we get in a place and we need help, and it's okay. You just need that person that will look at the situation, give you a different perspective on things. How impactful was that for you to hire a life coach during that time?
Oh, it was life-changing. The thing that helped me to really come into my own and to really own my identity. Because at the time, I'd done a lot of different things, but people will make you feel weird. They'll make you feel weird for being multifaceted. They'll make you feel strange for being a whole brainer. They'll make you feel as though this is the box that you're supposed to be in. And let me put the lid on that box for you. And if you step outside of what they consider to be the norm or traditional route, sometimes by commission or omission, intentional or unintentional, projection often, they will try to make you feel strange. For me, I wanted to write books. I wanted to go back and act, all of these different things. And it was my life coach that helped me to see the cohesive thread that was driving me to do all the things that I was doing. So I had done Mrs. Pageants in the past. I still was doing that. And I went forward with that. I wanted to write books. I was volunteer for Dress for Success. And cohesively, there was a theme of empowering women that I had not identified. And my life coach was the one who helped me to see, because you have to convince yourself first. Everyone else in the world will get it once you own it. And it's almost like everything fell into place, because people, you know, I was called everything from flighty to, oh, you must be having a midlife crisis. I'm like, first of all, I'm barely even, at the time, I wasn't even 35. I'm like, you don't have a midlife crisis this early. I am just tapping into some of the gifts that God has placed in this particular season. I'm very big on seasons. And it was the season for me to tap into different gifts. And because it was different and different from what I had traditionally done, people didn't know how to take it. But it was my life coach that gave me attorney, author, actress. And that is who you are. And it was this whole life purpose statement. I am illuminator of things. And it was this whole empowerment statement. And it clicked.
Yeah.
And I got up off the couch and I haven't sat down since. And it was life changing.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Well, listen, we have to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with Juanita Ingram. And we've got so much more to talk about. So stay tuned.
Are you an IT executive with years of experience? Are you energized when you empower others? If I've piqued your interest thus far, you may be a great mentor for the TechLX program in St. Louis. TechLX prepares rising IT leaders to tackle today's challenges and prepare for tomorrow's demanding roles by pairing them with senior IT executives like yourself. Mentors receive coaching from technology partners and will be invited to all TechLX networking events featuring outstanding speakers of the IT industry. To apply, visit tpi.co/TLX.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Juanita Ingram. So Juanita, as I said in the beginning, there is so much to you. We're going to only scratch the surface, but you are an author. You've got a television show called The Expats International Ingrams, and we'll put all that in the show notes so people can go and look that up. But I told you, The Fabulous, Faithful, and Free book. This is such a good book, and I love this. In your intro, you say, if you've got a little why, you will make minimal effort and get a minimal result. If you have a great big why, you will take colossal action and get unbelievable results.
Dream big. Absolutely.
Yes. But anything we have, Juanita, right? And you talk a lot about that. Like, you passed the bar exam on the very first try.
Yes.
But you were the one that was studying 6 days a week and you put in 11,000 hours of studying.
And people thought I was crazy. I mean, I had people that teased like, oh, it doesn't take all of that. And maybe it did, maybe it didn't. We will never know because I passed. And the very people that chastised me for spending all that time, I wrote about in the book. I mean, I had a friend that took it 5 times. And she just would never believe me that it took that much to do it. But it was a big why. It was a big dream. And I gave a big effort. That is just how dreams come about. That's how we accomplish things. And the bigger the dream, the bigger the effort.
Absolutely. I say hard work works.
Every time. Yep.
You dedicated this book to your grandmother.
Yes, I did.
And you said, thank you for always being there for me and for showing me what it means to be fabulous, faithful, and free. What would you want to say about your grandmother? She must have been just an amazing role model for you.
It's hard for me because I still talk about her presence since she just passed. And she was everything. She is everything. She was everything that was womanhood, everything that was empowerment, just a strong figure in my life. I am named after her. She helped raise me. She was everything that epitomized femininity and intelligence and activism and strength. And she, in her latter years, my grandmother passed away. She was almost 92. And she loved to see me achieve things. When she was watching the show, she was on the first season of the show. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yes, I thought we got her on. And but she would watch me do things in the entertainment space. And she honestly kept me going because a lot of times people didn't understand sort of the whole brainer, the left and right brain fully using both. It was interesting. My grandmother had early onset of dementia in her latter years. And when she would watch me on television, my mom would FaceTime me, it would pull her out of dementia.
Wow.
And she was totally coherent, totally present. She always knew who I was and she loved to see me there. And she just loved it. And she was sharp as soon as the television came on and I was there. That's just a connection that she and I always had, always will have. I know that she's a part of me and always will be. And she was my entire world.
That's amazing. Wow. What a woman. What a woman. And just for our listeners, never underestimate the power of being a grandparent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to dig in here because I believe it's maybe your first chapter, maybe still the introduction. You said self-esteem sucks.
It does. It's so overrated. Oh my gosh. People go on and on. Self-esteem, self-esteem. Self-esteem is a feeling. It is a feeling. It is a fleeting feeling. It comes and goes, ebbs and flows. It is not concrete. That's just my opinion. I think we overdo it with self-esteem and undervalue self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is your ability to know that you can accomplish a particular thing, to know your capability. Because self-esteem is just there to try to figure out how do I get confident? Your confidence comes from self-efficacy. It comes from self-worth and your ability and knowing. And that comes from doing. It's come from setting goals, small ones, achieving them, and sort of snowballing them into bigger things. So I'm a big proponent of self-efficacy over self-esteem.
I'm going to be now too. I love the way you put that, you know, because it's so true. If you believe, that empowers you. You know, you go on to say everything is a skill that can be learned. If you have self-efficacy and you have that confidence, then you know that whatever it is that's put in front of you, it may take 11,000 hours, Juanita.
That's right. And people often ask me, like, how did you figure out how to do your own show? And how did you get your show on the ballot for the Emmy nominations? Like, how did that happen? I believe that if I work hard enough, I can do anything. There's nothing that I can't not do. Now, I may not ever become a brain surgeon, but if I ever really put my mind to it, I am that confident in my self-efficacy and knowing that I can work hard enough to do anything that I put my mind to, and that God is no respecter of person. But faith without works is dead. And so you do the work.
And you know what I always say too, if you do have Christ, if you do have faith, you have his mind.
And God is the ultimate creator, you know, and when we think about being in the entertainment space and being creatives,
yes,
how do you do certain things and how do you learn? But God, your nature comes from him. He is the ultimate creator. So your creativity, I pray all the time, God, help me with this series. God, show me the storylines. God, what should I do? I pray about editing. God, I don't know how to make this transition. Please take me to the right YouTube video so I can figure out how to edit this sound. There's nothing that you can't do if you're willing to put in the work. It just may take some time and a whole lot of effort.
Sure, sure. Well, I love this quote of yours. You say, self-efficacy is a sustainable green energy of your life because you can't use it up and you can always grow more.
Yes, it is something that constantly is recycling. It is not dependent on anything other than what you put into it. And it's always there and it will fuel so much in your life. It has for mine.
Well, I'm with you now. You have convinced me. So we've talked about law school. You were unbelievable. But I want to talk about this. In law school, you met a moot court coach, Coach K, I think it was.
Yes.
And you say Coach K changed your life. So tell us about Coach K. What did she teach you?
Coach Kerchevsky was her name, and she was Russian. And one, she taught me work ethic. We used to practice, and I know Coach K will neither confirm nor deny that this ever happened, but we used to practice our moot court arguments. And if we got it wrong, she would throw stuff at us. Like, she would throw erasers at us. She would throw, like, she had candy in her pocket. She would throw it at us. And, you know, we were dodging it, but it was about perfection in the practice, in the preparation of it all. It kind of goes into my three P's, the positivity, the preparation. And we would practice, and we practiced the way we performed. And one day, you know, we went to New York and we didn't excel the way we wanted to. We didn't make it to the finals. We went, I think, three rounds and then lost. And I honestly left the courtroom and cried because I felt like I disappointed her. We had worked so hard. And she took us out that evening. I'll never forget, we went to a Broadway show, went to this Russian restaurant in New York, and she poured these shots of vodka. She'll never admit this. And she was like, I'm going to give you all a toast. And I was like, for what? Because I was still feeling so down. Like, I lost, you know, like we lost, not a good day. And she was like, no, this is great. You dared to rise above the mediocrity of life. And it's not about win or lose. It's about the journey, and that you were brave enough and cared enough about your development as an attorney to rise above the mediocrity of life. There were people who didn't try out, who didn't want to work that hard. And it was a lot of work. She was hard, and her reputation preceded her. It was hard work. And she said, but you have already won because you rose above the mediocrity of life. And it just stuck with me. I'm like, the mediocrity of life. That you can get into a place of complacency where things are easy, where you are being mediocre, where you are not even challenging yourself or tapping into the vast level of gifts that you have. And I challenged myself, I will never settle in my level of mediocrity. My level of mediocrity may be someone else's plateau.
Sure.
But it's personal to me. And I keep trying to rise above whatever level of what I could be. And it's not about not being content, because I often find that I have to remind myself, like, let's be grateful for all that you've done. You don't have to continue. You're not failing if you're not constantly winning. That's not the mentality to have.
Right.
But it is something to know that there are things that God has deposited in me. And in particular seasons, it's the time for those things. And it's okay to give yourself permission to do it.
So let's talk about that real quickly, Juanita, because you talk about permission. You do have your P's.
Yes.
Positivity, preparation, permission.
It's a bonus of purpose. Yes.
Purpose with the bonus, right? So let's talk about this a little bit. Positivity. You said you got to be intentional about whose influence you allow in your life.
Everybody is not cheering for you. And to have a lukewarm cheering squad, you may as well not have one at all. I had to go through that. I think we all go through a situation where there are people around you that may have known you your entire life that cannot see where you are right now because they only see you as Peepers. And they don't see you as Juanita Ingram. They see me as Peepers. Sometimes people can say, you know, well, who does she think she is? And I never knew that she could act. You met me in college. You didn't meet me, you know, you never met that side of me. And sometimes people can meet you at a certain stage and not understand your growth.
Well, I love this. And then you say, you know, you got to turn your obstacles into opportunity.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've talked a ton about preparation. I love this quote. You've got so many Juanita-isms.
Oh,
but here's what you said. You can't have a $1 million goal with a minimum wage work ethic.
It does not work. And I think so often, especially in the society that we're living in now, where things appear to be very instantaneous, we are watching the highlight reels of people's lives on social media, and it skews your mindset into thinking that things will be instantaneous or to thinking that you don't see the struggle. Like, no one saw me sleeping on the floor of the law school, trying to attain certain things. No one saw the sacrifices at 23 years old when everyone else was hanging out and I was studying, and the things that I did in my career and still do. You watch a beautiful show. You have absolutely no idea how many hours I spent on this floor. When you press play on the show, it's great, but it took, gosh, we started filming in December of 18. You saw the show debut in December of 2020. It was 2 years to make that show. And some people think that it just will happen. It doesn't work that way.
You got to do the work and the preparation. I had an old boss that was a former Marine, and he would always say, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. But what that does is it gives you a peace. You know that you've done the work, and it gives you a confidence.
Well, I took a nap during the bar exam. Like, I finished so early, I went to sleep.
That's how prepared you were.
I don't believe you can be overprepared. I don't. Overpreparation just builds your confidence, because sometimes you don't have time to respond or to think, you just have time to do.
You know, we've talked about this a lot, but you said, give yourself permission to dream big. And I love this. We talked about how many things you've done. You got to give yourself permission to be bigger than that one job, right? I mean, you said, okay, yes, I'm an attorney. But now, I mean, you're an actress, you're a television producer, an author. You don't have to just be that one thing.
You know, I had to research, because people thought that was so weird. And if you listen to other people tell you what your story should be or tell you what your norm should be, you'll start to believe it. I had to research and take the time to list and learn about all the other attorneys that did other things. Gandhi was an attorney, you know, Clive Davis, that is the CEO of Jive Records, Harvard lawyer, all of these other lawyers that were doing all of these great things. And I made a collage of their faces. So when people would tell me that I was being flighty, or what are you doing? When are you going to go back and practice? That I would hold the course and know that I'm not alone, that it's okay. And this is what God had called. No one plateaus at 25. I've been a lawyer for 20 years now, and nobody plateaus. Your starting point could be someone's plateau and someone's goal, and that's okay. But just knowing and identifying what you're called to do in a particular season is so critical.
Yes. So your bonus is purpose.
Yes.
Without purpose,
you're clueless. It's just, you know, you're going through life, but it will be easy to knock you off course. You know, people see me accomplish so many things. They have absolutely no idea. For every one yes, for every one award, for every one good thing, there are 20 rejections. My first feature film that I was in, an indie feature film, I got a Best Actress nomination from the British Urban Film Festival. That was one role. I had auditioned 42 times before that. Had I not been called and understood and held on to what I knew, even with this show, even with season two, I mean, it's been hard to film during COVID. And there were times when I felt like maybe I should just not do this.
Right. Maybe this isn't the right timing or whatever.
Distribution deals go cold and people call back and then they don't. And then strange things happen. But if you don't really know that you're walking in your purpose and fall back and lean into that, it will be easy to knock you off course because things will get hard. Every blessing, every good thing comes from ups and downs. And sometimes those things really help you to appreciate the wins. And people are like, why do you celebrate your wins so much? You have absolutely no idea about the losses and about the no's. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to sit in this moment because there is so much rejection on the floor that now that I'm up off the floor, I'm going to stand here and just bask in it for a minute.
That's right. That's right. Give yourself permission to do that. Oh my goodness. Well, I would just encourage our listeners to order Juanita's books, watch the show, get to know her more. I mean, she's won world titles and beauty pageants. I mean, there's just so much to this woman, but it is time for us to kind of close out. So Juanita, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think they need to know that what they are called to do is unique and to really lean into their uniqueness, to know that they do not have to lead like everyone else. They do not have to follow anyone else. You know, like as my grandmother used to say, you take the meat and throw away the bone. You take wisdom, you gather wisdom, but don't be afraid to be unique. Don't apologize for it. And to really know what your purpose is, hold on to it, stand in it, lean on it. When you break down, let it build you back up. When you let go, sometimes the purpose will hold you when you've let go of it, and it'll hold you tight. I just hope that everyone can really search and find their why. And when you do, there's no limit.
Very good. Juanita, what's coming up for you that you're most excited about? I know you're working on season two. Maybe you're working on another book. Who knows?
I'm working on another book.
Are you?
Yes, I am. It's called Heavy is the Head. And it's all about female leadership and the things that I've experienced through leading nonprofits and my production company and leading in London. I get people that ask me a lot to mentor them. That was the reason why I wrote Fabulous, Faithful, and Free, because I tried to pour it all out. Everything that I would tell someone, I put it all there because I can't mentor everybody. I just don't have the time. We're working on season two. I do have the book coming out. I'm excited about that. And season one is still streaming. We still need the support. I'm just being a mom and a wife in the meantime, and that's it.
That's awesome. Okay, so how would people find your television show if they wanted to watch?
We are on Amazon Prime in the US and in the UK. Or if you don't have a US or UK Amazon account, we have Purpose Streaming. So I launched my own streaming platform because I have so much time on my hands. It's called PurposeStreaming.com, where you can go and watch the show as well, because it's a show about expats and people live all over the world and they wanted to see it. And, you know, the folks in Portugal wanted to see it. So we created that. And I'm on social media. I am Juanita Ingram. And that's my website also, The Expats Show. .com is the website for the show, and it's all there.
Well, Juanita, thank you again, and I hope you can get some rest.
Thank you so much. Yes, I will do that. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.